Hebrews chapter 7 verses 4 to 10. See how great this man was, to whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the spoils. And those descendants of Levi who receive the priestly office have a commandment in the law to take tithes from the people, that is, from their brothers, though these also are descended from Abraham. But this man, who does not have his descendant from them, received tithes from Abraham, and blessed him who had the promises. It is beyond dispute that the inferior is blessed by the superior. In the one case, tithes are received by mortal men, but in the other case, by one of whom it is testified that he lives. One might even say that Levi himself, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, for he was still in the loins of his ancestor when Melchizedek met him. Well, the whole point of these verses is not to show that Melchizedek was greater than Abraham, but that Christ, of whom he is the type, is greater than the whole priesthood of men under the law. Because, remember, Christ is, quote, a priest forever over God's house after the order of Melchizedek, end quote. Which does not mean equal to or descended from the mere man Melchizedek, but something much more. It means someone like Melchizedek in the ways typified by the historical record, but for whom and by whom the whole historical record was, in fact, laid down. God omnipotently wrote the history of Israel in real lives as a picture of the Messiah, for the glory of whom all history exists. Melchizedek, great though he was in his time, was a tool in the hands of God, a real person written into the story of Abraham with a contemporaneous purpose, but also for reasons that served God's deeper plan of the revelation of Jesus Christ at the right and much later time. So we have seen that Melchizedek was a Canaanite, probably a Jebusite, and certainly not a Jew, to whom both Abraham and the whole nation in him paid tithes and received a blessing. The promises to Abraham and his descendants were there for all Israel to believe, and the blessing was for all those who actually did. The technical point that the superior blesses the inferior, as in the Melchizedek-Abraham story, is immediately applied to Christ, who is, quote, the one of whom it testified that he lives, end quote. The contrast is between mortal men and the immortal Christ. It's the emphatic conclusion of what had gone on before, where Melchizedek's apparent lack of an end is used to give light to Christ's true immortality. Again, the thrust is to draw the Hebrew listeners away from a traditional but wrong view that saw Judaism as the pinnacle of God worship and the race of Abraham's physical descendants as the ultimate chosen people. Melchizedek was not a Jew. For that matter, neither was Naaman the Syrian, nor Job, nor the Sidonese widow who boarded Elijah during the famine, nor yet the four women mentioned by name in the Messiah's lineage. Judaism was not the pinnacle of God worship. Both the nation and the religion were purposefully introduced in order to point to something, to someone, so stunningly superior that an incomparable spiritual relationship was to be heralded and debuted with the entire race of humanity in this Christ.